You could probably share a story where someone was rude about every week or so, or maybe you'd admit that there were times when you could have been more polite.
Our next guest makes the case for practicing politeness. We're not talking etiquette and manners here, just politeness. In a recent piece, he says politeness has a stubborn power over time, and it helps us and the people we live and work with.
Paul Ford joins us now. He's a writer, editor, and programmer. His piece on politeness appeared at Medium.com, and we have a link to it on the Central Time Facebook page. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Paul, your politeness has an origin story. How did you get to be so polite?
Well, I mean, you can go all the way back and look at me as a child, and I was sort of taught to be polite. But I think over time, it was learned. It was learned by terrible trial and error. And I learned that just by incredible patience and just sort of keeping my mouth shut, life was going a lot better for me.
And you say you don't look like you should be polite. People don't expect it from you. Why is that?
I'm just a big, goofy guy, right? And so people see me and they're just sort of, they want to know what position I played. They don't think I'm going to sort of be quiet and modest.
Well, how does your politeness make itself known? What do you mean when you talk about being polite in your daily life?
Well, the whole point is nobody should really ever know. It's only over time that every now and then someone will pull me aside. And, you know, I worked on a big project a couple years ago with somebody, and this is a person who's like a real corporate go-getter. And she took me aside at the end of the project, and we'd been in a room for about 6 months, and she's like, I thought you were just a terrible suck-up. Like, I just thought that you were just some kind of weasel. And then I realized that over time, you're just sort of letting people talk and figuring it out. And that was actually a strategy. I was like, well, I wasn't quite that conscious, but it was sort of interesting to see somebody who is used to just like, she just sort of puts her shoulders down and plows through the wall to get stuff done, observing that I'd accomplished the same thing through this process of, like, erosion.
And do you get that kind of reaction to politeness, that it's a strategy, a gambit, or do people not notice it at all sometimes?
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, nobody really notices it. The fun thing in that piece is that I'm sort of playing all my cards at once, right? Like, I shouldn't really be out there saying, look at how polite I am. That's the least polite thing you can do. But I woke up one morning and I was just like, you know, people have mentioned this to me a few times. And I sort of felt that, you know, I'm an internet guy, I'm a programmer, and it's such a rude medium. Everyone's just yelling at each other all the time, and it's exhausting. And I wanted to kind of bring up that, like, you know, some of us are just kind of sitting there trying to get by. And of course, people popped up out of the woodwork and yelled at me right away for saying that. But that's okay. That's fine. I'm actually very happy and welcome their feedback.
You tell a story, or at least you make a really convincing case for being polite, and one that really hit home with me was that you said that, you know, when you're polite, you don't really have as much baggage to carry around. You said it's sort of like wearing white gloves. You don't sully yourself by getting dirty, and when the unfortunate encounter or whatever is over, you take off your gloves, you move on, and you're fine because you've kept it together.
I mean, I think this is what people miss about it, right, is that every time you jump in and decide to have an opinion, and there's this huge, you know, Twitter is a great example, but just in general, there's this huge pile-on of opinions. It's very tribal, where someone says something and someone else says, I disagree with that, and then there's just, you know, an outpouring of rage. Not getting involved with that is the least emotionally exhausting way to live your life. Like, as everyone is expressing opinions and formulating opinions about each other as individuals, you can kind of, it's amazing how liberating it is to sit there and be like, well, you know, this guy might just be having a bad day, or, you know, and there's a subtext there too, which is that actually a lot of the friendships that I've had that have evolved over the years have truly evolved. You know, I found out that I met that person and I thought they were being terrible, and it turns out they were having a really bad day, and, you know, they hurt their leg. A friend of theirs had just passed away or whatever. And if you let those first impressions actually define your relationships, you're in big trouble.
Well, speaking of Twitter, you tweeted, I'm here to talk the Wisconsin public radio show about politeness, which is like talking to a French person about cheese. Do you think we're really that polite in the Midwest, or are we just shy or something?
No, you guys are polite. I mean, I've been living in New York City for a while. New York City is, in its own way, New York City is one of the most exceptionally polite places you'll ever go. And not always on the street, but like the relationships that I have had with my neighbors. Some of my best friends are neighbors, and And that sort of builds, you let those build over years. You don't rush those, right? So there's this sort of certain distance that everyone being jammed together creates in New York City that you kind of, if you can decide to live here, you celebrate. But no, you come to the Midwest and people are genuinely very polite and friendly. You know, there's that friendliness and that sort of distance that's also in there. There's a kind of like, okay, everyone's got it. We're going to be very nice to each other, but there's a little room.
Isn't there anything stifling about that sometimes where, you know, you can't talk about the things that really matter because you're so busy being polite?
Well, but when I'm with my friends, I'm one of the least polite and most sort of, I'll say the most horrifying and upsetting things. Like I don't have a lot of filter. One of the reasons I think I've learned to be polite is that horribleness always lurks within me. And I'm always trying to, like, you know, it's not a matter of like, oh, I might say the inappropriate thing. I will say something or I will think something so unbelievably terrible that just to conceive of it is, it feels bad. And to say it out loud would ruin friendships all around.
Right, so you're freaking me out here.
Yeah, this is a survival mechanism for me. This is not, you know, it's a way for me to, I think everybody has that terrible little screaming voice in their head, right? But, yeah, you just, like, it's, I don't know. I don't find it stifling. I mean, you're exposed to so many people in your life. It's okay to just have a little distance.
Well, now, is it easy with people we see all the time, the friends, the family, the coworkers, to just take it for granted and drop the politeness? Not on purpose, just let it go. How do we keep it rolling in those situations and not take those close people for granted?
I think that's key, right? Like you want to have it's tricky because a little too much formality is ridiculous in close personal relationships. But, you know, I have great friends with whom I speak every day. And there are certain ritual qualities to that friendship that are really important. The way we buy gifts for each other, the way that, you know, I invited this guy over to my house last weekend and with his family. And I told him not to bring anything. And he's from Lebanon, and he texted me beforehand, and he was just like, it's not an option. I need to bring something. And I feel that those rituals actually they deepen the friendship, and they make it more valuable because you kind of get to know there are these certain fundamental patterns that you can always trust are going to be there, and they help you as you build loyalty. And I think people would see them as like, you know, the fact that he had to go buy cookies before he came to the party. Some people might see that as ridiculous. I actually see that as beautiful. There's still a fundamental respect in a very, very close relationship.
Mm. Well, one of the pillars you think of politeness is not talking too much about yourself when you're in a party like that and drawing the other people out. Talk about that.
Well, you know, I just think that, I mean, I talk about myself too much. I'm talking about myself right now. But if I was in a situation in which I was talking to someone, let's say somebody who worked in public radio, one of the things I point out in my piece, it's just a little trick that when you're in conversation and someone is talking about what they do, if you just turn around and say, you know, that actually sounds kind of hard. Everyone thinks their job is hard, and everyone actually does have hard aspects to their job. And it's a good way to kind of draw them out and get them to talk about things that bug them. Now, I had an interesting experience. I wrote about this, and a guy wrote me after, and he was like, you know, actually, for me, that's the worst possible response. I'm a specialist in pediatric cancer, and I actually love my job. Like, I love what I do. And hearing that must be hard and all the sympathy that people put forth actually makes me feel sort of alien and weird. But my initial response was like, yeah, like, of course you love dealing with that. That's why you went to medical school. That's what you do. But, you know, I would immediately want to be like, oh, man, I bet that hospital bureaucracy is a pain.
Hmm. Great tactic. Well, we're talking about politeness, how to be polite and why it matters with Paul Ford. He's joining us from the studios of the Radio Foundation in New York. We've got a link to a piece he wrote on politeness over at the Central Time Facebook page.
You can join our conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you make a point of being polite? And what does politeness mean to you? Is it the thank you note, the favor, or just being pleasant in day-to-day interactions? And do you think politeness is becoming a lost art these days? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our conversation now about politeness with Paul Ford. In a recent piece, he shared his ideas on how and why we should be and can be polite.
You can join the conversation. Do you consider yourself a polite person? Have you been described as weirdly polite, like our guest has? Where do we fall down on politeness as a culture? Is it at work, among family and friends, with strangers? And do we in Wisconsin and the Midwest deserve our polite, friendly reputation? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. Go right to a caller. We've got Laura with us in Oshkosh. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Rob. I'd like to think that I'm polite, but honestly, my kids, both teenagers, say I'm very impolite. And I'm not sure what it is. I think I'm maybe a little too honest, and I kind of say it like I see it. But the thing that I try to do at work that I think has helped me a lot with relationships is when I send emails, I always start off with a good morning, a good day, or a good afternoon, and I always end with God bless, because I work at a Catholic school, and that, you know, fits in with our school. But just that small little good morning kind of sets the tone for a polite email.
Interesting. Laura, thanks for that. Paul, you work in the technology business. Do other people follow Laura's example in electronic communication?
I rarely see God bless. No, I think it's there's such an emphasis on brusqueness and quickness that I don't see a lot. But where you do see it is when people are there's a certain formal etiquette to creating and writing code and documenting it and working as a group. So there is actually a very formal, structured, polite culture around code development that you wouldn't necessarily know about unless you were a big nerd.
Interesting.
Well, I am a big nerd, but I'm not a programming nerd, so I don't know that world.
What about, is there a code of politeness for nerds, Rob?
I think we fall down on the job a lot, actually. Yeah.
I mean, if you do poke around, there's a lot of guides to netiquette and guides to how to behave on the internet. It's a major subject.
Yeah, nobody's reading them, though, I don't think. It's a problem. All right, Mike in Madison is next. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Rob. Thanks. It's a great show. I consider myself polite, and I go out of my way to be polite to strangers and people I know. And I think people are protective at first, but when you're polite to them, I believe they jump at the chance to be polite back. And then the other thing is I do believe, I don't know, maybe it's sort of a Buddhist thing, but I believe that in being polite, kind to people, I send an energy out into the world that may or may not come back, but it makes the world a better place, a more positive place.
Okay, thanks, Mike. And Mike talking again about a little bit of spirituality-based politeness and sending good energy out. Is that part of it, do you think?
I mean, I'm not a very spiritual or religious person, but I feel that ethic is really in there, right? Because you're trying to create something, you're trying to just sort of not put yourself first. And also, you're also willing to let people see you as passive or beta or whatever they want, however they like to classify human beings. You're willing to let them judge you a little bit while you pace this relationship and give them some respect. And, you know, the thing I would close on that idea is that this piece generated a lot of conversation. I remember reading one on the website Metafilter. Somebody wrote about being polite to people at their job, which involved working with people in severe distress, like people who it wasn't clear where they were, but maybe it was a mental hospital and maybe one where people were being brought in by the police. And they just hadn't been respected. And these people hadn't had any respect in days or weeks or months, and just they were in a state of panic and extreme distress, and this person would calm them down simply by, you know, sir, how are you? Ma'am, how are you? Can I get you anything? Calling them by their name. So it can be a gift that way.
Mike, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go now to Emily with us in Madison. Emily, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to talk about the impact that handwritten thank you notes have. I really think that I've gotten the best responses from people when I just write a quick thank you note and say, thank you so much for doing this, that they say people don't write handwritten thank you notes anymore. And then also if you can write down some information about people you don't see that often, but if you can say, oh, Jane, how's your kids? How are their horseback riding lessons going? It really shows that you've taken an interest in them, and you don't have to put that much work into it. You just have to take a note.
Emily, thanks a lot for that. I'm really bad about the handwritten thank you note, but at my nth birthday party, I won't put a number on it, people were really nice and did lovely things, and I said, all right, this time I'm going to do it, and I wrote handwritten thank you notes. I'm sure they were quickly recycled. Is that on your arsenal of politeness, Paul?
I'm a disaster. I can't pull it off. However, I will say that piece is actually directly inspired a friend of mine from years ago. She's actually since passed away. But if you Google how to write a thank you note, it was, a friend of mine named Leslie Harpold wrote a piece that was actually very much the inspiration for how to be polite. And so there's definitely a connection between those ideas of sort of taking the time and being very personally, directly grateful and interacting.
Great. Well, thank you for that call. And we're going to move on to Chris in Eau Claire. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Yeah, thanks for the show. It's a good topic. I grew up in Arizona, in Phoenix. And when I moved to Eau Claire, I was paranoid at the people like looking at me and smiling, because it's a totally different mindset in the Midwest, in Wisconsin and Eau Claire in particular, than it was in Phoenix. And thanks for the topic. And thank you.
Great. Well, thanks a lot for listening and for thanking us. And Eau Claire, people smile a lot and freaked Chris out a lot at first. But is that part of being polite, of, you know, acknowledging people with a smile, reaching out to them? I guess just the acknowledgement of that, you know, there's another person there and you're going to be friendly.
You know, I just read a piece today about somebody who worked as a postal worker, and it can be a very stressful job. There's a lot of labor issues going on. And what she wrote was just waving at the person driving the postal truck can actually really brighten their day. It can be a real affirmation in a very tough time. And there's just nothing like it. Like, just it's that moment of human connection, I think, brings people's levels right down.
But if you do that in Phoenix or elsewhere, it's going to make them paranoid. Like, what are they after? Why are they waving at me? Thanks a lot, Chris, for the call. Jay joins us now in Pewaukee. Jay, hi.
How you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Jay?
I was told something that's kind of stuck with me all my life when I was pretty young. Someone said, your friends are like your teeth. You only get to keep the ones that you pay attention to. And you're talking about being courteous, you know, to step outside of everything and actually let your friends know that you care, to go out and go that extra mile and let them know, you know, handwritten thank you notes. It's a huge thing. I mean, nobody even writes letters anymore, let alone thank you note, or even small favors. It's a decent topic today, and I just wanted to kind of chime in.
Jay, thanks. So some kind of a preventive maintenance is needed for friends, just like teeth, Paul.
It's hard, too, because, you know, you don't want to feel like you're a bother. And when you get out of the practice of just being nice and generous, which happens to me all the time, you forget. And, you know, my instinct is always to be like, great job. You're so great. It's so fantastic, and so on and so forth. And then you start to feel like, they don't want to hear that. They're going to just think I'm cheesy, and so on. But the truth is, like, we all have a pretty bottomless need to just know we're doing okay. And so it's never a bad idea.
I want to touch on one more red flag, an enemy of politeness, and that is the unwelcome touch, particularly of people's hair, I guess. Can you talk about that?
You know, I think it's a specific cultural thing, but I'd read a few pieces online, and it's just one of those things where it's like, and the pieces were written by African-American women, and they're just like, why do white people keep touching my hair? And I felt that was a very fair question, but it also just struck me as like, yeah, why? Like, how? I don't touch anybody's hair. I wouldn't do that unless they said, like, please touch my hair, or they were maybe like under 6 months old. Like, it just was so inconceivable to me that you would feel comfortable upon just meeting someone to jump that barrier. And it's culturally, it can be, I don't think that's a universal globally, but it's just kind of obvious. Like, it's just a cue that I feel that, you know, there's a lot of those cues and they're out there, and if you pay attention to them, again, like, that's a relationship you're not going to have. If you touch someone and they don't invite that touch, that friendship is kind of, you just cut off a lot of opportunities for communication. And then people get very offended when you say, please don't. And I've noticed that. You know, I'm a sort of casual but not too intense hugger, and I'm a definite handshaker. But I live in neighborhoods and I interact with people where, for religious reasons, physical touch is really, especially between men and women, is really an issue. And so I've learned, you know, and actually someone wrote into that piece and they told me that when dealing with and interacting with Muslim women, some of them, like, hand over heart is better than handshake. And I went played back the relationships I'd had before and realized that I'd had some really kind of awkward handshakes, but they were kind of dealing with me because I'm just a regular white American dude. And like that hand over heart, that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's kind of
nice. I'm glad
nice.
I know that.
Well, we got to leave it there. Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
What a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
We've been speaking with writer and programmer Paul Ford. We have a link to his piece on politeness on the Central Time Facebook page, and you can share your thoughts there, too.
I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.